Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
We are in the second of a three-week series on the I wills of God. The four I wills that we saw in Exodus, where God said, I will to save you. I will to free you. I will free you. He said, I will redeem you and I will call you my very own. Those are things that God made very clear about His will. For most precious people, most Christians, they don't know how to determine or ascertain the will of God. In fact, most Christians see the will of God as a great mystery. It's something you can never really know, something you can really never understand. That something is always out there where, well, you know, you never know the will of God. That is so untrue. The Bible was written to tell you, to tell me, God's will. He made His will known to us. In fact, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 says this, and He, God, has made known to us, His church, the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus is the will of God made manifest in the flesh. He is God in the flesh. Everything you see Jesus doing, that's the will of God. And it's unchangeable. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you know God says, I am the Lord your God, I change not. Amen. Aren't you glad He doesn't change? He's made known the mystery of His will. Paul prayed over the church at Colossae and he said, I pray that you would be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you then might be enabled to walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing and being, listen now, and being fruitful. Say it out loud. God called me to be fruitful. He called you for a purpose. He said that you might be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God and strengthened with all might or power according to His glorious power, bringing you all patience or endurance and long suffering. That's His will for you. God made His will known, but many dear Christians kind of think the will of God is just something that's up there and maybe it'll pop down on me like God is a shotgun and just BBs fall everywhere and you might be one that it falls on. Listen, God is more willing that we know His will for our life than we want to know His will for our life. It's a matter of understanding. That's why Paul said, I pray that, listen now, you would be filled with the knowledge of His will. Oh, there's so much God has for you. There's so much He has for you. And I want to talk to you today about four of the I wills. Look in the book of Exodus with me. This is God dealing with Moses about getting the children of Israel delivered from the bondage of Egypt as they were slaves in Egypt. Exodus 6 and verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. Now I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, which is a promised land, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving. And I have remembered my covenant. Now look at verse 6. Therefore say to the Israelites, now here are the I wills. I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the yoke or slavery or bondage of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. And I will take you as my own people. And I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out from under the yoke or the slavery of the Egyptians. So we've already, last week we looked at the first I will. Where God said, I will save you. He wants you out from under the yoke of bondage. He said, I no longer wanting you to be a slave to sin. I no longer wanting you to live under the slavery of the world system and the kingdom of darkness. How many of you are glad that He saved you? Oh, I'm so thankful that He came into my life. Jesus found me and saved me. I'm so thankful for that. It is so awesome. And that's why as a church, every weekend in this church, we work so diligently to present the gospel in such a way so that that I will of God can come to pass right here in this church. That's why it's so important that you bring people far from God or don't know Christ into church with you. So, not so that they can become religious, so that God's I will can occur in their life. so that He can save them and redeem them and separate them. It's an amazing thing that He does. The I wills of God, and basically, the first I will is I will save you, basically saying, I'm going to bring you out so that I can lift you up. Yet many dear people have given their life to Christ, and they've never gone beyond that. They still live trapped. They still live as slaves. They still live as a slave. They still live in prison. But what they don't understand is God has opened the prison doors. And yet many of God's people sit inside waiting for God to pull them out and the doors open. I want you to learn today how to walk out, how to step into a process in your life with walking with God where the prison door has already been opened in Christ and you can walk out of it. There's a way that you can live that as a Christian. So the second I will that we're going to look at today and the third one, let's start at the second, is God said, I will free you from being slaves to them. Now, the difference between the first one, which was I will bring you out from under the yoke or the bondage of the Egyptians, and the second one is I will free you from being slaves to them, is this. The first one is getting them out of Egypt. The second one, I will free you, is getting Egypt out of them. See, there's an image on the inside of every person. There's a way you see yourself that has been formed and shaped either by your Heavenly Father and His Word or the system of this world and the kingdom of darkness. And you can be saved, that is, Jesus is the Lord of your life, and yet never live free. Because the picture you have of your life, the internal picture that resides on the inside of you, does not match the picture God has for you. And I so encourage you today to understand that God doesn't just want to save you. Listen to me. He said, I will free you. The first one tells you you are made for something great. I no longer want you under that bondage. The second one provides the path to achieve it. How many of you know God has a plan for your life? You were made for something special. I know things are hard. I know you may be in the midst of difficulty or had something difficult in your life. Or maybe in the present, right now, you're in great pain. If you're not careful, those outside circumstances, those things that have occurred in your life that did not come from God, create an internal picture of how you see yourself. And you will live in prison your whole life if you let that picture remain. And let me tell you something. Let me be really clear. God does not send messes and trials and pain into your life to teach you. I don't want to disparage anybody. But it bothers me when I hear people talk about my Father bringing pain into people's life in the name of love. Because if you did that, you're a child abuser. But God does it, and we call Him mysterious. It's not mysterious to injure somebody. There is a devil that comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. He said, I didn't come to give Him a license to beat your brains in so you might learn something. Let me tell you what you learn when you get your brains beat in. You got your brains beat in. I didn't say the trials can't, God can take trials, for the trying of your faith is precious. Not the trial, but the trying of your faith, your ability to walk by what God said in the midst of the trial is more precious than gold. Because you begin to define, see, walking by faith in the midst of the trial means the trial doesn't define the picture that I see of my life. My God defines that picture. That's why Galatians 5 verse 1 tells us this. And it sounds redundant, but boy, it isn't. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. He said, so why did He set you free? For freedom. He wants you to live a free life. He doesn't want you living a tight-fisted life. He wants you to learn how to live an open, relaxed life, a walk with God, a fellowship with God, a relationship with God, not a down God, a God pouring rules and regulations and imposing strictness upon you and tightness. He said, no. I set you free. I set you free for the sake of freedom. I want my kids to live free in this life. And then He said this, though. But you have to stand firm and don't let yourself fall back under that yoke of slavery. See, He's not saying, well, if Jesus set me free, if I'm free, I'm free. It's all up to God. No, it isn't all up to God. See, and again, I don't say this to disparage anybody. But it is so untrue when people say, the Lord's in control of that. God's in control. No, He's not. God chose to give man free will. In His sovereignty, He chose to give me the ability to choose. And He refuses. Now, He certainly could. God could come and make every one of us robots. That every breath we took, every word we spoke, was God forcing us to do it. Like we were simply puppets in His hand, told us exactly what to do. But He made us in His likeness and in His image, and He gave us free will. And God does not impose His will on man. You want to know why man does evil to man? Because he chooses to from the kingdom of darkness, and God has nothing to do with it. It's not from His plan. It's not from His purpose. It's not what He wants for you. And yet so many precious people think, well, you know, everything that happens is the will of God. No, it isn't. I can prove it to you. Okay, what if today you went home, you're married, your husband walks up to you, punches you right in the mouth. Let me ask you a question. Was that the will of God? Well, it must have been. Then it happened. Then you can't tell him he's wrong. He just did the will of God. He's being punched. Listen, honey, if I punched you in the mouth, I couldn't have done it if it wasn't the will of God. It must have been God's plan. You deserved it. Now, how many of you know that's crazy? How many of you know you're married to my daughter and you do that? You're dead. You say, you sound like a murderous pastor. Uh-huh. Yes. I have daughters. And I will lay hands on you. Suddenly and quickly and repeatedly. Because that's my baby. And you understand, you have a Heavenly Father who loves you and cares for you, who's crazy about you. And He said, I want you to stand free in the liberty that I've given you. But He said, if you don't stand for it, if you don't know how to win this battle, you're going to fall back under the yoke of slavery. That's why Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's the internal picture that you have. Isaiah said it this way. God, he said, thou, God, will keep him, man, in perfect peace as his mind is stayed on him, on God. What does it mean to keep your mind on God? That word mind in the Hebrew carries the meaning of the word imagination. He said, the man whose imagination, whose internal picture has been created by me, has been formed by me, will live in perfect peace. He won't live his life. She won't live their life based on an image that was created by either bad circumstances, a bad home life, abuse. Guys, listen, when I first started pastoring 20 years ago, if someone would have told me, and they did tell me, that the statistics of somewhere around 1 in 7, 1 in 8 women have had some form of abuse in their life, I wouldn't have believed it. Simply because I didn't, thank God, look, my parents didn't both know God as I was a kid growing up. My mom got saved when I was a teenager, my dad after I had left the house. But I could never conceive of a parent damaging or injuring their child because I didn't grow up in that kind of home. Now, we were disciplined. I thought my dad wanted to kill me. He just never did. But but sincerely, I couldn't quite conceive of that. And yet, after pastoring for 20 years, I would tell you this. I don't know if 1 in 8 is conservative. So sitting in this room today are people who have had the image of who you are as a person shaped by traumatic events before you had any choices. And it's told you who you were. It's told you what you could do with your life. It's told you what you can't do with your life. And you've said and agreed with it for years. And as you've thought in your heart, you've become. And God said, I want to change that picture for you. That's why Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, or that picture. Then you will be able to test and approve, listen now, what God's will is. That is His good, pleasing, and His perfect will. Until your mind is renewed by the Word of God, you can't determine or ascertain the will of God for your life. He said, stop letting this world and its system squeeze you into its mold. Let me illustrate it this way. Here's how most people live their Christian life. They have been conformed. When something is conformed, it means it's by pressure being held into its form. But the minute you take the pressure away, it goes back to its original form. And most of us have been conformed into an image. The image that we see ourselves has been conformed by the world around us, by the world system around us, through trauma. Or otherwise, things we don't even know. You know, to be really honest with you, I don't know why this is in my life. I really don't. But I don't know why. There's no one to really blame. It's just life is it happens. I don't know why, but when I grew up and entered into life, and I felt less than other people. There was potential in my life, but that potential was hidden behind a picture that I couldn't conceive of me being able to even have a good life. I don't know why I felt that way, but I did. And I remember when, you know, as a kid growing up, just feeling like I won't be able to do things and feeling less than other people. No one did that to me. It wasn't a trauma in my life. It's just the picture that this world gives people. But let me tell you, it's important that you show up in church on a weekend. It's important. Let me tell you, there was a service I showed up at. Because, see, when I gave my life to Christ as a teenager, the internal picture of my life, the way I saw myself, was never shaped by God. I had been conformed to this world. And because I didn't know how to get my mind renewed by the Word of God or to change that picture, the world around me shaped my behavior. And I began to conform to the same world that I just came out of by making Jesus the Lord of my life. And I was living in a very ungodly life, yet I was saved. But I wasn't free. And I remember sitting in a service. I was in college at the time, home for the summer. And wanting to walk with God, but messed up, man. Just living stupid. Anybody ever live some stupid? All right. And I remember sitting in the service where the pastor said a sentence. I don't know anything else he said. He quoted the scripture. When he did, the head of the church, through the power of the Holy Spirit, taught me personally. See, in weekend services and on first Wednesdays, the Holy Spirit of God, who is the teacher, will show up in your life and teach you. He'll say more to you in a breath than you'll get in 10 lifetimes. And the pastor quoted the scripture where Jesus was speaking, and he said, "For the Father himself loves you." And I don't remember another word he said, but let me tell you, I remember where I was sitting in the church when it happened. I remember I was in the fourth row back. I remember I was on the right side. I remember I was on the far right side. I remember everything about it. I remember that he had a brown tie on because it stuck with me. It was supernatural. And the Spirit of the living God began to bring revelation to my heart and began to talk to me on the inside. And begin to say to me in these words, these understandings, these images form on the inside of you. That if God Almighty, the maker of everything, loves you, He has a plan for you. You don't have to live under the shadow of all these feelings. And change, you can hear them falling out of my life. And less than a year plus after that time, right around a year plus, I was out of college, living beyond a backslidden condition. And I was in Bible school, obeying the call of God in my life. All because I went to a church on a weekend service where the pastor was a man that would preach the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit took those words and change began to fall in my life. And it's an incredible way to live. It is an incredible way to live. Most people live conformed. When they're around Christians, they're conformed to their Christian image. When they're at work, they're conformed to their work image. When they're with their friends, they're with their friends' image. That's why teenagers, I've had people say to me, "I love that we have a youth group. It provides positive peer pressure." No, it doesn't. I don't care about positive peer pressure. All that means is that we create an environment to conform them. What happens when they go to college? They go back to the way it was. I don't want my kids conformed to their youth group. I don't want you conformed to a church service so that you put on your weekend Christianity face. He said, "I don't want you conformed. I want you transformed." And that transformation, like a piece of clay. Now, this just came out of a Play-Doh jar this morning. It was conformed to the image of the Play-Doh jar, and it's been out of the Play-Doh jar for quite a while. Now, how many of you know we can come back here this afternoon and it will look just like this? Because this blob of Play-Doh was transformed into the image of the jar. And it will remain that way. And I can reshape it. And I can do whatever I want to it. And it will be transformed from that image into this image. Or into this image. or however it's supposed to be, it will be and it will stay without, listen now, without any pressure, without any religious pressure, without any external pressures. It will stay. Just, and that God said, I want you transformed, not conformed. And that is so incredibly important that we learn to live that way as Christians. It really is. It's critically important. I'm trying to get the balloon to stay. Yes. Whoops. Steve Moore, if it falls, you have to go find it, all right? All right. Stay, balloon. Stay. Dogs never listen to me. Maybe a balloon will. He said, okay, I'll get you later. That's all right, honey. It's all right. We'll get it later. I'm evidently done with that experiment. So, because none of us want to be conformed anyway. So let's do it now. Let's just make it easy, and let's no longer be conformed to the image of this world, and let's just be transformed. Is that all right? The balloon was trying to tell us something. It was trying to say, throw that away, Steve Moore. I don't want to live conformed anymore. Get me off the stage. Let me be. This leaves transformed all by itself up here. At Victory, it's why we do what we do. It's why we have weekend services and First Wednesdays. So that God Almighty can work in your life and change the eternal picture. So that your mind truly can be stayed on Him and that you can live in perfect peace. It's why we do weekend services. And let me tell you, through weekend services and also through small groups, I'll tell you what, small groups is an incredible way for you not to just get out of Egypt, but to get Egypt out of you. It's a place where, now weekends we all come together. You might hang out and drink a little bit of coffee with somebody. But let me tell you what will happen in a small group. Small groups are going on right now. You say, well, I didn't sign up. Sign up late and show up. It won't hurt anybody. It only lasts 12 weeks. And then we'll do another semester, starts in early February. And then we'll do one more. And we just do 3 a year. They have a beginning and they have an end. And you can find something you like. But let me tell you what happens. When you get in a small group, you're going to get around a group of people that are going to help change that internal picture for you. That'll be more intimate. That'll help provide some accountability for you. That'll help be able to tell you who you are, to be the mirror of the Word of God. Each small group leader has been trained and is diligent. They pray for you every day. The leader over every small group, every day you're on their prayer list. And let me tell you what else. Their job during those 12 weeks or so, however long yours is to help you determine what's the next step for your spiritual life. See, if you're not careful, you'll just sit in the prison. The doors are open and just wait. But there are steps you can take. It's why we do the weekends. It's why we do First Wednesdays. It's why we've gone through all the effort that we have, because it's in this atmosphere of weekend services. It's in First Wednesdays. It's in the atmosphere of a small group that these miracles can happen in your life. A small group is it's a fantastic place. It's an ideal place to be continually identifying and taking the next step in your spiritual life. The next I will was, I will redeem you. God said, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. Now, remember the context. He's talking to slaves in Egyptian bondage. He says, I'm going to reach my arm toward you, and with mighty acts of judgment, I'm going to deliver you. That's what he's simply saying. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to make you my own. You belong to Egypt. But I'm telling you, you are soon to belong to me. You are soon to reap my harvest. You are soon to go into my promised land and no longer be serving the will of your taskmaster. And God said, I will stretch out my arm toward you and I will redeem you with mighty acts of judgment. Now that was a wonderful picture of what was to come in Christ. And now I want you to see where God used mighty acts of judgment against God's enemy and God's people's enemy. Now let me tell you what happened in the New Testament. Just the same thing, but in a more remarkable way. The mighty act of judgment that God did to redeem mankind was not by judging a sinful man, but by pouring all that judgment on His Son. He would redeem you through a mighty act of judgment. But it wouldn't be stretching out His arm. It would be God coming from heaven to earth and taking flesh so that He could live a sinless life. Hang on the altar of a cross and be crucified and executed to pay the debt that was due me. And God said, now to you, I will redeem you. Not with just an outstretched arm, but I so love the world, I will give my only Son, that whoever will believe in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For the Son did not come into the world to condemn it, but that through Him the world might have life. Now listen, this is incredible. He said, here's my mighty act of judgment. I am going to pour out all of my wrath reserved for those who sin has stained. That because God is a righteous judge, He has to judge sin. And all men were under the wrath of God. And God said, I am going to judge, a mighty act of judgment, in that I am going to pour out all of that judgment, all of that wrath, everything that was due me and due you. I'm going to pour it out on myself in the form of my Son on the earth, and He will hang on the altar of a cross. And I will stretch out my mighty arm of judgment, my mighty arm to rescue you and redeem you. But I'll pour the judgment out on Him. That's why in the book of Isaiah, some 700 years before the coming of Christ, Isaiah prophesied about this event coming. Listen to what he said in Isaiah 53, what would happen some 700 years later on the hill called Calvary, where Christ would be hung on the altar of a cross. He said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him, referring to Christ, and to put Him, Christ, to grief. When you make His soul an offering for our sin, and He shall see His seed, that's you and me, and He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hands. Now He, God the Father, shall see the labor or the travail of His soul and be satisfied. One translation says, and the claims of justice against man would be satisfied. And by His knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. Why? Because He shall bear their iniquities. Now listen, God's a righteous judge. And there are demands of justice, claims of justice against us before God. And the Bible called those things the handwriting of the ordinances that were written against us. And the Bible says Jesus took those ordinances written against us and nailed them to a cross. And God had to satisfy those claims of justice. And the Bible said when God would see the travail of Jesus' soul, when He would see the price and the suffering that He would take, that the penalty He would pay, that He would say, it is paid in full. And then He would turn to every human being and say, whosoever will can come now. Because by my righteous servant, many now will be justified, for He bore their iniquity. You have been redeemed with the blood, not of bulls and of goats or silver and gold, but the blood of a lamb, the Son of the living God. It speaks every day to the desperation of God saying, every drop of blood is, I love you. I love you. I want to save you. I want to free you. I want to redeem you. I have a purpose for your life. You don't have to be defined by the worst thing that ever happened to you. You don't have to be defined by the abuse in your past. That internal picture that drove you to bad relationship after bad relationship can change. And I tell you I've watched stories in this church. Oh, it's incredible. You can have the world with a fence around it. You give me a story of life change, I'll take that. And let me tell you, it's incredible. Where you'll have people come and say, Pastor John, I've been in so many bad relationships in my life. And I found the same guy in a different body. And they were harsh and they were abusive. And they had addictive personalities. And they hid it from me. Some I knew, some I didn't. And it seemed like I found the same stupid in a different body every time. And I was about to write off relationships until I realized, when I started to find out God loves me, that the picture I had of myself drew me to people that would harm me. But when I found out that the God of all creation loves me, when I found out that I'm valuable and precious in His sight, it doesn't matter who did what to me, that God sees me differently. And when that image began to change, I saw stupid coming 1,000 miles away. I wouldn't touch it. I didn't go near it. And I found, and they're holding the hand of a man, and they'll say, he is now my husband, and he loves me, and he treats me like gold, because that's what I'm worth. God, let me tell you, that's what Jesus does in someone's life. Not the hymns and hers of religion and jump through this hoop and go under that table and what? No, this is about setting people free. And that's what Jesus wants for you, and that's what He wants for me. Through an outstretched hand, we have been redeemed, 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 redeemed. And that occurs in this church. You'll know redemption. One of the things that we don't do these things because we're bored. The growth track. 101, 201, 301, 401. When is 101? First Sunday of the month. Okay, now you're getting a key. Now, when would 201 then be? Second Sunday. What about 301? Third and 401? We're just brilliant, aren't we? Guess what Sunday of the month this is? Give you a hint. The third, so this would be 301. So here's what you do. At tonight, at 5:30, 5:45, show up here. We'll feed you, sit in the room. You get to go through 301 where you can identify why God made you, the gifts He's given you. And then you can put those things to work in your life and live outside of the prison. So I'm just praying about it. No. Stop praying about it. Go just walk out of the prison and do it. Show up and do it. It's incredibly important. It's through the growth track. What do you mean growth track? It means to put you on a track of getting that picture change, seeing who you are in Christ, identifying yourself in Him and not in any other form. It's incredible. 101. Every Christian should be a member of a church somewhere, hooked up, part of it. This is where I belong. I'm a part of this church. And if it isn't here, find one. This may not be the church for you. 101 is where you can come and find out. You kick the tires and you show up. This is where I belong. This is where I don't. 201, you find out the essentials of the faith. 301, you find out and discover how God made you. 401, you find out where you fit and get busy working and serving for something more than yourself. Now for you OCD people, I know this is 301 and you haven't done 101 and 201 in order. But let me tell you, you now have permission. This is a spiritual, what would the word be? Sedation. To give you permission to not go in order. And you can come to 301 and listen, and if it really bothers you, we'll have medication for you when you come in, all right? Come to 301 tonight. If you can make it any way you can, show up and let God start to do some transformation in your life. We have been redeemed from the enemy's bondage and to God's blessing. We've been redeemed from something in order to go to something. We've been redeemed for a specific purpose and to reign on the earth. You were not made by God to be reigned upon forever. You were made to reign, R-E-I-G-N, to reign as kings. As we wind this down, let me read you out of Revelation chapter 5. This is so important. He said, then they sang a new song. And they said regarding Jesus, "You, Lord, are worthy to take the scroll to open the seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, nation, and people. And have made us," I didn't make myself this, "God, you have made us kings and priests to our God." Now listen, "and we shall do what on the earth?" Say it out loud. Say it again. You were called to reign in life. The Bible said we are called to reign in life by one Christ Jesus. You were called to be an overcomer. As He overcame, you overcome in Him. You're called to be more than a conqueror through Him that loved Him. You're called to be one that is the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. You're called for someone to live out of the land of mediocrity and live in the land of excellence. To have a marriage that's always getting better. To raise children that aren't conformed but are transformed. And they know how to put the Word of God in their life so that Jesus can do what He wants to do in their life. Because He's made them for something incredible. 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 So let me recap as we wind it down today. We've looked through three of the I wills. I will save you. I will free you. I will redeem you. God simply is saying, He said, I want to free you. I want to redeem you. Those are the two we looked at today. He said, first I want to save you. Then He said, I want to free you. Now He's saying, I want to redeem you. We're showing you how this church facilitates those I wills to get you out of the prison, to change the internal picture of your life. Weekend services and First Wednesdays. Make it a priority in your life. Get in a small group. There are things for men, things for women, things for couples. I mean, activity things, biblical things, need-based things, from divorce recovery to grief recovery. There's so many small groups out there. Get involved in one. Go through the growth track. 101 through 401. Tonight's 301. Show up. So I didn't sign up. We don't care. Just show up. We will feed you food. You can chew, swallow, and listen. It's amazing. It's not hard. Put these things as a priority in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not second. Not third. Put Him first. And He said, in all these things that the world is killing themselves for, I will add to you. Everything that you hunger and desire for, your Father wants you to have it more than you want it. He wants to add these things to you. And it's our responsibility when we hear these things to say what God says about us, to say, I will walk in freedom. I am the redeemed of the Lord. On the back of your bulletin, I've written a confession for you to take home. And it's the font might be a little for you to read right now in this room, but behind me, it should be coming up right now. I want us to read this together, okay? Let's say this together, and you say what God says about you. Believe this from your heart. Say it out loud now where you hear it. I will walk in the freedom that Jesus purchased for me. I will act upon the truth, and it will make me free. I will find my identity in Christ. I will have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I will not allow this world to squeeze me into its mold, but I will be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I will join or lead a small group and experience the freedom that Jesus gave me. I will go through growth track and start a journey of spiritual growth. I will not quit. I will not draw back. I will not let anything or anyone deter me from walking in freedom. I will always declare that I am the redeemed of the Lord, and I say so. Amen. You believe that? Praise God. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? I want to pray and make sure everybody in this room has had the opportunity to give their life to the one who has given his life for them. That you might walk in that first I will save you. And my hope in my heart is that whether you're here for the first time or the 50th time, that you will make this a practice in your life so that you can come back week in and week out and be able to learn these things and grow in these things and get in a small group and go through the growth track and end up serving on the dream team and making a difference in others' lives. But I want to make certain before we go any further in the service this morning that you're certain that you've made Jesus the Lord of your life. Let me say this as well. At this point in the service, people are usually packing their bags, so to speak, and ready to go. Stick around because we have a few more things we really want to get over to you today that are very important and some fun as well. Just stick around till we're done. We know what time it is and won't keep you long. But with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, I don't know Jesus as the Lord of my life. Pastor John, if I died today, I'm not sure where I would spend my eternity. Dear one, listen to me. Jesus said there's a heaven and Jesus said there's a hell. When we die, we go to one or the other. There is no middle ground. And let me tell you, you say, well, I don't want to go. I want to be with God. Well, let me tell you something. Wanting to be with God won't get you there. Well, so I've been to church. That's wonderful. Going to church won't get you there. Because there is salvation in no church. Being a member of a church will not make you right with God. Being a member of this church won't make you right with God. There is salvation in no church sacraments, including this church. There is no salvation in any pastor or any priest, including this pastor. There is salvation, the Bible says, in one man, Jesus Christ. And the question I would ask for you today, have you invited him into your life? Have you made him the Lord and the Savior of your life? The Bible said if you'll ask him to come, he turns no one away. He will come and he will make you brand new. He will save you. You will pass from death into life and you can walk with God all the days of your life. Not being conformed into some religious mold, but being transformed into a man or a woman that walks with God in everyday life. That the blessing of God shows up in your everyday life, in every area of your life because of his love for you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today, you say to me, Pastor John, I don't know that I've ever given my life to Christ. I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? I want to invite Christ in my heart. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'd like to be included in that prayer, I will pray for you right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, please pray for me. Include me in that prayer. Would you just simply raise your hand up high so I can see it? And I'll pray for you right now. Do it right now and we'll pray. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, man. God bless you. Thank you, sir, so much. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm looking up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Up in the bleachers there, whatever we call those, the risers, wherever you are. Thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You've not yet raised your hand. Say, Pastor, include me with those many that have. Just raise it if you've not done so. Do it high so I can see it. And I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your very own ears. And Jesus, the Son of the living God, will come into your heart. He will never leave you, never forsake you. And he will walk with you all the days of your life as you walk with him. Pray this out loud where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart, the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. And I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.